What a wonderful thought goes well with what we celebrate when we take communion is that wonderful, beautiful fountain that God has given of blessing to us that we can live for Him each and every day. Wanted to just say thank you to you as our family of this past month. Many of you have been a very large encouragement to us as the pastoral staff and to our families, and just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for the many gifts, the words of encouragement, the cards, the texts. We have definitely felt loved by our family, and so thank you so much for that as well. Would you join with me as we open in prayer? Father, Your Word brings life. But we also know that sometimes life is difficult. But as long as we have You, we have life. So Lord, I pray that as we look into Your Word today, as we look at what it means to live as a Christian in the world in which we live today and the reality of being a follower of Christ, Lord, would You speak to our hearts? Would You embolden us? Would You give us strength to live today? No matter what we face. And we give You praise for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. In April of 2015, four members of the Islamic terrorist group Al-Shabaab pounded on dorm room doors at Garissa University College in Kenya, demanding of each student, "Are you Muslim or a Christian?" Muslims were allowed to flee. Christians were shot. By the time the attack ended, 147 Christians lay dead and 79 more were wounded. The siege didn't end until all four of the gunmen had been killed. It wasn't the first time that Al-Shabaab, the youth in Arabic, had specifically targeted Christians. During an attack on a Nairobi mall, they asked shoppers, "Are you Christian or Muslim?" Those who said they were Muslim were then asked to quote a passage from the Quran or recite the Shahada, the Islamic statement of faith. If the words didn't roll smoothly off their tongue, they were killed. If they said they were Christians, they were killed. At least 67 people died in that attack, and more than 100 were wounded. The group again made its presence known with an attack on an upscale hotel in Nairobi that killed 14 people in January of 2019. These attacks in Kenya didn't surprise Christians in Somalia, who have lived under the shadow of Al-Shabaab since 2006. Al-Shabaab describes itself as waging jihad, holy war, against the enemies of Islam. The Al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorist group has made no secret of its goals to rid Somalia of all Christians. In fact, the group circulated a list of suspected Christian converts from Islam. Having your name on Al-Shabaab's list meant certain death if discovered. The number of committed Christ followers inside Somalia is unknown. Those that are following Christ are often isolated and unable to fellowship with others. They know that their lives could end with an encounter with Al-Shabaab and with the now familiar question, "Are you Christian or are you Muslim?" Persecution is a word that we don't like. I think it's also a word that we really don't understand in our culture and in our day and age. It's something that we don't experience, this kind of persecution. But as we look at what life is, we've been talking about living as a Christian, and when we talk about living a Christian, there's a lot of the, you know, the good things about it. You know, when we live as a Christian, we live for God, we live for one another, we're nice to one another, we support one another, you know, we go through all of those things. But then there comes this point in time where we understand that living as a Christ follower also has a cost. And the reality of this is as we live for God, as we talked last week, as we live for God, there becomes the realization that persecution becomes a part of our life. So what does it mean to live with persecution. How do we do this? Well, we look in 1 Peter chapter 4 in our text of this morning. 1 Peter 4, starting at verse 12, and Peter is talking to them, and this is a section where he brings up suffering for being a Christian. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do good." Peter gives us insight into living with persecution. And as we see this, there are a few things that we can take that won't make it easier, but I think it will help us to understand why and how and all of those aspects of living with persecution. And Peter makes it actually really clear in the very beginning. He says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that you experience persecution. I think this is something that is good for us. In verse 12, he actually says it. Do not be surprised when the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange are happening. I think sometimes we look at this and we go, wow, I can't believe this is happening to me. Persecution, that shouldn't be happening. I kind of picture this with Paul. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. This is just my speculation. Paul is with a group of people and group of believers, and they're in a room. And kind of like what we do today, you know, we're kind of, when we hang out, what do? We talk about life, right? We start talking about things that are going on. And at some point in time, it gravitates to those struggles maybe that we're dealing with, right? Those things that are hard on us. And understand, in this point in time, persecution was a real thing. So I kind of picture that they're sitting there and they're kind of talking. It's like, you know, this is so hard. This is happening. You know, they made fun of me in the market today. Or I went into this one store and the guy wouldn't even sell to me. You know, and they're telling their stories and they're almost shocked at what's going on. And Peter, in the midst of that, I see him standing up and going, guys, don't be surprised that this is happening. We knew that this was coming. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us that this was going to happen. He warned us ahead of time. When I was walking with Jesus, He told us that we were going to be persecuted. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, we read of one of those times where Jesus looked at them and He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, again, we look at this from our standpoint and we go, persecution, you know, oh yeah, I was persecuted, I was made fun of, you know, they kind of poked they said, oh, you're kind of weird being a Christian, one of those Bible thumpers. And we look at that and we kind of go, you know, but I can live with that. But when we're talking about persecution, look at the next verse that what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6:22. Look how He puts it this way: "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." Now that takes it to a whole nother level. I mean, now it's like, hey, you know what? Good job if people hate you. Good job if people insult you. It's nice. It's great if you're rejected. Don't be surprised at this. Persecution is going to come. Jesus told us this. Paul understood this and actually continues it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, as he's encouraging Timothy. He says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution." There it is. sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul goes, look, all of these things happen. And you know what? Don't just think it's because I'm Paul. You know, Paul was a very out there kind of guy. And so people could look at it and go, well, yeah, of course, you get under people's skin. But he's saying, no, as a matter of fact, anyone, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. I once heard a statement that said, if we have not experienced some level of persecution in our lives, then we should take a good look to see if we're even a follower of Jesus. That has come back into my mind time and time and time again. If I have never experienced some form of persecution in my life, then I really need to look as to whether or not I am living as an effective follower of Jesus Christ. That's a hard thing for us to take, because persecution is not fun. Everything that when we look at persecution, we go, I really don't want to do that. But it helps us to understand why. We come to this place where when persecution happens, we like to ask the question why. We like to go, God, why is this happening? You know, I've been living for you. I've been doing the right thing. Why is this persecution? Why is this suffering? Why are these trials happening? It helps to know that it's going to happen. But there is truth to the understanding of it helps us to know why we experience it and why we want to go through it. But just for a moment before we go into that, I do want to talk about persecution itself and really truly understand what persecution is, because there's actually many times where I've seen someone talk about persecution and it's really not persecution. You know, it's like, oh man, my life is so hard. You know, I'm going through all this and it's a spiritual suffering and everything else. But notice what Peter says. And I like that Peter puts this in here in verse 15. He says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. He says, don't do that. Understand what it is and what it's not. We sometimes think that persecution is or our own consequences of sin is persecution. My own decisions in life is persecution. But we need to understand that the decisions that I make, if they are counter to what God's word is, there's going to be consequences to that. And that's what Peter is saying. He goes, you know what? If you're a gossip and nobody wants to talk to you, don't consider that persecution. That's because they don't want to talk to you because you're a gossip. If you're caught stealing something and you get put in prison, don't look at it as persecution. That's called you're a thief. You're getting what you deserve. You know, and it's kind of this thing that Peter is putting out there. Understand why you're being persecuted. In verse 16, he actually gives us the other side of that. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. Now, there's what we see. There is the purpose. There's the understanding for why we are persecuted. We are persecuted because we bear the name of Jesus. Now, why should we be persecuted for that? Because wasn't Jesus one who loved the world? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes. Don't we believe that God is the God of love and Jesus was his son and all that? Shouldn't people love that concept? Yeah, they should. But they also understand that Jesus came to convict the world. Jesus is divisive in so many ways, but people don't like to bear. So when we bear the name of Jesus, we bring conviction on the world. And Jesus even says in John 15, 18, he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. enough that they would kill him, take him to the cross. They hated him first. In John 7:7, it says, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil." So here we are, the conviction of Christ on the world in which we live. This is why it is difficult for people to become followers of Jesus Christ. There's this battle that goes on. Understand that if somebody looks at this relationship with Jesus, there is this competition of power and authority. I want to be my own God. I don't want someone else over me. We like to make our own decisions, right? So there is this power, a competition of power that happens. So people don't like that. I don't want you telling me. I don't want anybody telling me. I'm not going to let a God tell me what I need to do. So there's that. There is the Christianity, this following Christ challenges culture. Understand that as we live in the culture that we live in, we are a conviction to that culture because we don't accept, or we should not accept. Now, we're getting blurred lines, but understand that as followers of Christ, we understand that there are things that are not acceptable within our culture that we should be living. People don't like it that we would say that lifestyle is not the lifestyle that should be lived. They don't like to hear that there's only one way. You see, evil always hates good because good always opposes evil. Think about that for a moment. Think back when you were a kid, okay? When you were a kid, if you had siblings, this probably happened all the time. You were about to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing, right? And in that moment, your sibling, whether they were older or younger, walked in, they saw what you were about to do, and they said that phrase, "Hey, Dad said you're not supposed to do that," right? Have you ever had that happen? Now, how many of you went, "Oh, thank you"? I don't know hardly anybody. When that happens, and they come in, they're like, "Dad said you can't do that." You're like, "Shut up. Get out of here." And maybe said a few other nice words to them. But, you know, the whole idea is evil doesn't like good because evil or good always opposes evil. So when we are good, when we live as followers of Christ, that good convicts the world of sin and it doesn't like it. Christianity, following Christ, challenges belief. We talk about wanting our freedom. You know what? I want to believe that I came from millions and millions of years of this process of just becoming one organism into another, and I became a monkey, and now I'm a human being. I want to believe that. You can't tell me otherwise. And understand that when that happens, this isn't a very calm conversation that often happens, is it? If you have a conversation about beliefs and you're challenging a belief, it becomes a very emotional conversation. Why? Because we don't like to be told what to do. So understand that when persecution comes, the bottom line is we are a reminder to the world of what they're not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, Paul says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life, and who is equal to such task?" We are the aroma of Christ. And to some people, that aroma is horrible. You know, it's kind of like cilantro. You know, some people love cilantro. Okay, how many of you love cilantro? Now, there are some that are like, "It tastes like soap." And many of you are in that. It's not a, I can like it. I mean, and this is what it's like. To some, it's a beautiful aroma of Christ because they understand that. But to others, we are the aroma of death. And it's a clash that happens. As a matter of fact, John Stott, a theologian, was quoted as saying, "Persecution is simply the clash between two irreconcilable systems." to irreconcilable value systems. So it's, I believe this, you believe this, these things can't, really it cannot mesh together. And because of that, there is anger, there is hatred, and as a result, there is persecution and suffering. So understand that persecution comes because we're living out what Christ would have us live out. But then Peter says, let's take this a step further. I mean, it's one thing for us to go, okay, persecution happens, I can live with it. Persecution, I understand why, because I'm Jesus. I am the aroma of Christ to the world. But you know what? I still hate it. But Peter takes it the next step. He goes, you know what? Rejoice in your sufferings. Rejoice in your suffering. Verse 13, that's what he says. He says, rejoice in your sufferings. And then again in verse 16, he said, praise God because of our sufferings. Now, when you look at that, you don't go, this looks like they're just taking it and okay with it. He's saying, you know, be excited about it. Rejoice. Be joyful when someone insults you. Be joyful when someone rejects you or hates you. You know, be excited about that. Because we bear His name. That changes everything. You know, if it's just people hate me because they hate me, I have no reason to rejoice in that. But if I am living for Christ in such a way that they see Christ in me, I bear the name of Christ and the image of Christ, and therefore, that is why they're doing that. I can rejoice in that. But even beyond that, we can understand that this persecution, this suffering, brings us much more. If you turn to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James says something very similar. He starts it out, consider it pure joy. I mean, that one word, pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, this is really something that we can and should get excited about. Persecution has a vital part in our spiritual growth and our spiritual maturity. As we go through persecution, we grow, and here's the reason why. Because as we experience persecution, we are driven deeper into that relationship with Christ, deeper into that relationship with God. That's why in countries where persecution is taking place, they are experiencing spiritual growth, conversion growth, at a rate that we have not seen in a long, long time in the United States, because that is causing them to go deeper into Christ. And as a result, we grow. Paul gives us a similar encouragement in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. He says, not only so, but we also glory in the sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Our sufferings produce for us character, maturity, and then Paul adds hope. Now, what is that hope? Well, the hope is what Peter talks about in verse 13 of the text that we read. He says, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. You see, the day is going to come when we stand before the one in whom we are persecuted for. And when we stand before Him, His glory is going to be revealed, and we will experience those heavenly rewards that are all over Scripture, and we will be able to hear Him, see Him, talk to Him, experience all of who Christ is, the one who died for us. I have a book in my office. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And a great book. There's another one that is called Jesus Freaks that the DC Talk guys put together. And these are books that are stories of martyrs. And what is interesting to me is as I read this, there's something that kind of repeats itself through the stories. As these people are going through horrendous persecution, horrendous torture, they are being... things that are being done to them are absolutely beyond what I could imagine. And there is an excitement in them. There is a joy in them because they know that they are just one moment from heaven. They're one moment from home. And that thought about home is such that it just lifts them to this place where they are able to take it on. Stephen, being stoned, he looks and he sees into heaven, and it changes everything, even to the point where he would say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." You see, we can rejoice in the fact that we suffer for Christ because he is building within us this character, maturity, and the hope of eternity. Which brings me to Peter's last encouragement. And it is a great encouragement for us today. Peter says, stay the course. Now let me kind of put it this way. Don't just endure. The truth is, again, nobody likes persecution. No one likes to suffer. But look at Peter's encouragement in verse 19. He says, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Notice what he says there. Commit yourselves to your Creator and continue to do the things that are going to cause more persecution. Because of the joy that we experience in that. Stay the course. When the fire is heating up, don't walk the other way. Don't try to avoid the persecution. Stay the course because God has a plan and a purpose in that course. Commit your course to your Creator, and He will empower you to walk through the fire. He's done it before. He can do it again. I love the passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Just following Hebrews 11, the roll call of faith, you read about these incredible stories, and then all of a sudden in Hebrews 12, you read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Those are the saints who have gone before us. And I love the imagery of that one. I just can't ever get past that. This great a cloud of witnesses, this arena of those who have gone before, many, many of whom have experienced persecution that we will never experience. And there they are, cheering us on as we move along through life, saying, stay the course, run the race, fix your eyes on the one who created you. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." Remember that as we experience persecution for Christ, that he is completing the work that he has begun in us. And like Paul, when it comes to the end, we want to say the words in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. Paul Chappell, I want to leave you with this quote. Stay the course. Paul Chappell, pastor, said, "The devil doesn't persecute those who aren't making a godly difference in the world." Did you hear that? The devil doesn't persecute those who aren't making a godly difference in the world. You know, as I read that and I've seen that around, I'm sitting there going, you know what, God? If I'm not being persecuted, then that really means that I'm not making a difference for you. And I want to make a difference. We want to make a difference. We want to see the kingdom advance. We want to see barriers, the sin barriers knocked down. We want to see families restored. We want to see our world turn around. But you know what? If we're going to see those things, that means that we bear the name of Christ. That means that we're going to be a conviction to the world. And that means they're not going to like it and we're going to experience the persecution. But as we experience the persecution, we are making a godly difference in this world. Folks, we are moving into Elkhart Lake to plant a church. Sitting right over here is our pastor and his wife of that church. You know what? Satan hates that. He's going to be doing all he can to stop anyone who's involved in that. Why? Because it's changing the kingdom. If we are persecuted for the name of Christ, we are making a difference for the kingdom of God. Stand firm. Go into it. Rejoice in the fact that you bear His name, understanding that it will come. Don't simply live in persecution. Live powerfully through the persecution and impact for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you consider us worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. I know it sounds crazy, but what an honor it is if we can suffer for you, Lord. I pray that you would help us to understand this privilege. And that as we go out into the world in which you have placed us in, that we would not go out fearful of what reprisal may come, but that we would go out excited, bold, understanding that we are light for your kingdom. Lord, may we shine brightly in the midst of whatever comes our way. Help us to stay the course, stand firm, and to rejoice in whatever comes our way, because we do this for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.